I'm Louise Bedford, and I'm a private share trader, and my business partner is Chris Tate. We're the authors of several best-selling books on the share market, and both of us have decades of trading experience behind us. Often we're asked how to choose an online broker. Let's have a look at this topic and help clarify some of the areas you might be concerned about. The advent of online trading has meant that almost anyone with half a brain and a bank balance can call themselves a trader. And because those trades can be executed so simply and quickly with a click of a mouse, sometimes this can be dangerous in the wrong hands. But in the right hands, it can produce terrific results. Let's talk about brokers first. Years ago, broking services were only available as an over-the-phone service. Talking to an actual human was the only way you could place buy and sell orders. Now, I used that service when I got started, but luckily you're probably not going to have to. It often involved enduring many frustrating hurdles. You were put on hold, you had your orders misheard, you were distracted by unhelpful and unrequested advice from the broker, and frankly, I was charged $100, $200 or more per trade. Now, that sucked. Today, nearly all traders utilize an online broking service. Most large banks provide that type of service. Have a look at the online service provided by the bank that you're with currently because you've already got an account there. There could be ANZ or NAB or CBA or Westpac. They've all got an online service attached for trading. The competition in this area is so strong. Lots of those brokerage rates have fallen significantly from the days when I paid $100 a trade. Isn't that great? Online brokers usually charge a flat fee per transaction, up to a certain value of trades or shares traded. Now, a lot of online brokers charge less than $20 for up to around a $20,000 trade size. And it's a very small percentage for trades larger than this. The power of the internet has given traders access to information previously only available to the broking industry. You can get news and company information, prospectus information, option prices, fundamental or technical data, everything that you could possibly wish for.
As a final piece, it's important to note that there is a stream of clients who believe that brokerage should be free. That is, brokers should provide them with a full range of services such as transaction, account keeping and various trading tools and not be recompensed for doing so. Such a naive view has become more prevalent with the advent of online trading. It is part of the worldview that seems to say that if it's on the internet, it should be free. If you want a full backup service and a full range of trading tools, then this is going to attract a fee. It is somewhat foolish to expect that a broker who operated under a no-fee-for-service arrangement would last very long. You need to get used to paying for prompt professional service or really find something else to do.
Online trading provides a really efficient way to buy and sell shares and other market instruments, but there are some pitfalls which you should be aware of. Firstly, overconfidence. Traders typically enter the market with an inflated opinion of their own abilities while simultaneously underestimating the amount of work that it takes to become successful. Unfortunately, traders have a tendency to sell winning investments and hold on to losing investments, and they also recall their successes more easily than their failures. Secondly, let's talk about over-trading. Online investors have access to vast quantities of information. This serves to create an illusion of control and encourages overtrading. Evidence suggests that those who overtrade make a lower percentage return than those who trade less. Brad Barber and Terence O'Dean are well-known US-based researchers, and we've actually had Brad Barber on Talking Trading, which you can find our weekly podcast at that link, talkingtrading.com. www.ipsos.com.au, and he's an amazing researcher. He divided 66,465 households into five groups on the basis of turnover in their common stock portfolios. The 20% of investors who traded the most actively earned an average net annual return 5.5% lower than that of the least active investors.
At its core, trading is an information management profession. You will find it necessary to decipher large amounts of information. New traders often believe that it is necessary to have access to all markets and all instruments in order to be profitable, and that these instruments should be turned over at a great rate. And the higher the level of turnover, the more profitable they become. The true message regarding trading is to undertrade, and then undertrade some more. As Louisa said, there is a link between turning over your account and poor performance. Now, to put this constant turnover and constant desire to trade every instrument into perspective, consider the example of the US stock market. There's some 12,000 listed entities in the US. If I was to use some form of analysis technique that knocked out 90% of these, I'd still be left with 1,200 instruments to view by hand. Now let's imagine that I spent 3 minutes on each one. That's 3,600 minutes or 60 hours of analysis. Simply to complete the analysis for one trading day will take me 60 hours. Beginners should at first restrict their access to other markets that may be on offer until you find your feet and mature as a trader. The easiest way to mature your trading business is to initially select a broker that will grow in time with you as you grow. So you initially start off trading very basic instruments such as CFDs and equities, and then over time this range may expand as you seek to diversify into other instruments. But this process takes time.
To trade effectively online, you really need to have good computer skills. Placing orders incorrectly can quickly erode a hard-earned profit. I often feel empathy for traders who come into the trading arena with limited computer skills. It can be quite an intimidating prospect. Sooner or later, though, you'll need to stop making excuses and get your computer skills up to speed. Let's have a look at the qualities required in an effective online brokering service. Firstly, a clear interface, ease of dealing, also real-time candlestick charts or at least 20-minute delayed charts. You want to be able to see the most up-to-date information that you can. Trade and tax reporting tools. You want telephone backup, paper trading functionality, and good brokerage rates.
Notice how the last requirement among professionals is price. Broking services should not be judged on the basis of price alone. For example, consider the case of CommSec, which is a reasonably cheap broker. However, in times of high demand, it has proved extremely difficult for traders to execute trades on that platform due to a shortage of resources. Saving $5 on a trade may end up costing you a great deal more when you need to exit a trade in a hurry in a fast-moving market.
So I suggest you choose a broker that can offer you the level of service that you need without interfering with your trading decisions. Of course, there's much more to trading than just choosing a broker. So stay plugged into us at The Trading Game for all of the support and resources that you need to trade profitably.